Here is a special reminder for our on-demand and podcast listeners. KFUO will be celebrating our worldwide ministry with Share-a-thon 2016, a three-day live event Thursday, April 21st through Saturday, April 23rd. Listen on our worldwide stream and on AM 850 KFUO in St. Louis. Join us and enjoy all the live fun, plus hear from some of your favorite on-air friends. Again, Share-a-thon 2016 is April 21st through April 23rd. If you can't listen live during our 3 days of Share-a-thon, remember you can support us online anytime at KFUO.org. Just click a Give Now button on our website, or you can email us and ask us about other giving options. Email gifts at KFUO.org. It's KFUO supporters like you who make these worldwide online programs possible. Please prayerfully consider supporting KFUO today. And thank you for listening and supporting KFUO.
Listening to His Time, I'm Andy Bates. It's time to study the daily New Testament reading. Our guest pastor joining us by phone today, the Reverend Matthew Rasmussen from Community Lutheran Church in South Burlington, Vermont. Pastor Rasmussen, welcome to His Time.
It's a pleasure to be with you today, Andy. Thanks.
Looking forward to studying God's Word with you today in Luke chapter 7. Share with us about Community Lutheran Church in South Burlington, Vermont.
Yes, we are pleased to be a beacon of the gospel here in Vermont. We are one of only a couple of churches, LCMS churches in Vermont, and we are happy to kind of bear the torch of Lutheranism out here on the East Coast, and have a very faithful and loving group out here, and it's a pleasure to serve them and a pleasure for us to be where God has placed us.
Well, thanks be to God for the ministry of Community Lutheran Church in South Burlington, Vermont. And what's the weather like there in April? What is it this time of year?
Typically, it can be downright cold and snowy, but as I think with much of our nation this winter, it's been kind of a strange one, and that's been no exception for us. And it looks, you know, beautiful spring on the way, much earlier than normal for us here in Vermont.
Well, let's see. We are studying Luke chapter 7 today, verses 1 through 17. What would you like for us to know about this text as we prepare to study?
Sure. Well, interestingly, this text appears in our lectionary. For those who follow the three-year lectionary, it appears the last Sunday of May and the first Sunday of June, Propers 4 and 5, and it divides our text that we're talking about today kind of in half, the first pericope being Jesus healing the centurion's servant, and the second one being Jesus raising the widow's son. So, for those listening, you'll probably hear this again coming up in a couple of months, so perhaps of interest.
All right, well, let's take a look. Luke chapter 7, verses 1 through 17. We're studying with Pastor Matthew Rasmussen from Community Lutheran Church in South Burlington, Vermont. Let's take a look. Luke chapter 7, verse 1. After he had finished all his sayings in the hearing of the people, he entered Capernaum. Now a centurion had a servant who was sick and at the point of death, who was highly valued by him. When the centurion heard about Jesus, he sent to him elders of the Jews, asking him to come and heal his servant. And when they came to Jesus, they pleaded with him earnestly, saying, "He is worthy to have you do this for him, for he loves our nation, and he is the one who built us our synagogue." And Jesus went with them. When he was not far from the house, the centurion sent friends, saying to him, "Lord, do not trouble yourself, for I am not worthy to have you come under my roof. Therefore, I did not presume to come to you. But say the word, and let my servant be healed, for I too am a man set under authority with soldiers under me. And I say to one, 'Go,' and he goes, and to another, 'Come,' and he comes. And to my servant, 'Do this,' and he does it. When Jesus heard these things, he marveled at him, and turning to the crowd that followed him, said, I tell you, not even in Israel have I found such faith. And when those who had been sent returned to the house, they found the servant well. All right, so after he had finished all his sayings in the hearing of the people, he entered Capernaum. And a centurion there had a servant who was sick and at the point of death, who was highly valued by him. So we're in, Jesus is now in Capernaum and learns of a centurion and his servant there.
Yes, and I think it's important just to mention the context here a little bit. This is coming right off of Jesus' Sermon on the Plain, where he was teaching those gathered, his disciples gathered around him. And I think it's important to note the end of that Sermon on the Plain, because it ties directly into where we are going today. So if you'd allow me just to read the concluding verses of that. I'm reading from Luke chapter 6, beginning at verse 46. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do what I tell you? Everyone who comes to me and hears my words and does them, I will show you what he is like. He is like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. And when a flood arose, the stream broke against that house and could not shake it, because it had been built well. But the one who hears and does not do them is like a man who built a house on the ground without a foundation. When the stream broke against it, immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. That's the passage that immediately precedes our transition into chapter 7. And an interesting connection is the fact that hearing, after he had finished all his sayings in the hearing of the people, he entered Capernaum. And we heard the beginning of that previous section, everyone who comes to me and hears my words and does them, and then he goes on. So we have kind of a connection there in the hearing, and this becomes important as we move through our text. Now the centurion, many know a centurion is a Roman soldier, and indeed a centurion is a Roman soldier, but one of high standing, one who has 100 under him, a man of standing within a community. And in biblical times, centurions certainly had servants, and those servants were highly valued. And we see that the centurion has great care, a great concern for one of his servants who is ill to the point of death. And that's where we begin our text today.
So the centurion had a servant who was at the point of death. When the centurion heard about Jesus, he sent him, sent to him elders of the Jews, and asking him to come and heal his servant.
Yes, and now we're right into the theme that I kind of wanted to put on everyone's radar. When the centurion heard, we have this hearing again. When the centurion heard about Jesus, he sent. And so we have this hearing leading to action, immediately connecting to the conclusion of the Sermon on the Plain. Everyone who comes to me and hears my words and does them. And we apparently have the centurion living out those words on the plain that Jesus was teaching his disciples. As our centurion hears about Jesus and he acts on that word, he sends to him the elders of the Jews, asking him to come and heal his servant. Another important point of note, I think, is that word heal in English, the Greek underlying that has much more depth to the meaning, and the word used there connotes a spiritual, a holistic healing, not just a healing of the body, but an aspect of salvation, healing of both body and soul, complete renewal. So that is what is being sought from Jesus.
He sent to Jesus, and they, when they came to Jesus, they pleaded with him earnestly, saying, "He is worthy to have you do this for him, for he loves our nation, and he is the one who built our synagogue." So this Jesus, this is a good guy. We know he's a Roman soldier, but he's a good guy. He loves our nation. He built us the synagogue.
Right, and this is a very interesting verse. As you know, we see Roman leadership and Jewish leadership don't typically get along very well, as we see in Scripture. When they do come together, as we just witnessed in Holy Week not too long ago, the only thing they can agree upon is they both don't mind seeing Jesus dead. But other than that, they certainly don't agree on much. But here we see an exception to this rule. Here we have the centurion sending elders, leaders of the Jews, to Jesus. The report that they bring to Jesus is an extremely positive report. He loves our nation, and so much so that he's the one who built for us our synagogue. And this is this very close relationship seems a bit odd. But again, if we turn back a page in our Bibles back to chapter 6, the Sermon on the Plain, we have these words in verse 27 and 28, Jesus teaching here. But I say to you who hear, again, that connection to hearing. But I say to you who hear, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who abuse you. And it seems that we have here a centurion that is living out this very teaching of Jesus as he loves the nation that that the Romans are typically at odds with. And he loves them so much that he expresses his love in very generous deeds in building their synagogue for them. So we see the centurion being kind of an embodiment of Jesus' teaching from the Sermon on the Plain. Now, so he does. You're exactly right, Andy. He seems like we got a great guy here. And he is worthy. Those are the words of the Jewish elders themselves. He is worthy, Jesus, to have you do this for him. So thus far, our buildup of the Roman centurion as the elders solicit Jesus in healing this ailing servant.
And so I'm not worthy to have him come. They invite Jesus. Jesus went with them. When he was not far from the house, the centurion sent friends saying to him, Lord, do not trouble yourself, for I am not worthy to have you come under my roof. Therefore, I did not presume to come to you, but say the word and let my servant be healed, for I too am a man set under authority with soldiers under me. And I say to one, go in there, and he goes, to another, come, and he comes, to my servant, do this, and he does it.
Right. So we hear from the Jews, he is worthy. And as Jesus draws near, the centurion sends a group of friends to the Lord saying, Lord, do not trouble yourselves, for I am not worthy. So we have the centurion he's directly contradicting the reports that the elders of the Jews have brought to Jesus. And again, in the English, in verse 7, ESV reads, therefore, I did not presume to come to you. But a more wooden, direct translation, I would suggest, would be, therefore, I myself am not even worthy to come to you. And we have this repetition here. Lord, I'm not worthy to have you come under my roof. Therefore, I myself am not even worthy to come to you. And why does he say that? Well, first and foremost, the centurion seems to know the faith of the Jews, the Jewish faith, quite well, and he's sensitive to the Jewish purity code, according to which it would defile a Jew to enter the house of a Gentile. So he sends out a party saying, no, don't defile yourself by entering my house. That wouldn't be good, right, and proper. I am not even worthy to be in your presence. And then we have this interesting phrase here, but say the word, and let my servant be healed. And I think that, again, the translation there could be even be stronger, but say the word and my servant must be healed. That really gets to the heart of the centurion's trust in Jesus. Say the word. The power is in the word. And the centurion gets that. He gets that already as he's sending a delegation to Jesus, as he knows that that delegation carries out his word. I say to one, go, and he goes. To another, come, and he comes. So the centurion understands this very well and understands that, especially with Jesus, the power is in the word. So it's not necessary for Jesus to come to him, and he himself deems himself not worthy to be even in the presence of Jesus.
When Jesus heard these things, he marveled at him, and turning to the crowd that followed him, said, I tell you, not even in Israel have I found such faith. And when those who had been sent returned to the house, they found the servant well.
Yes, when Jesus heard these things, he marveled. And this is truly a rarity in Scripture. Normally, it's the crowds who are marveling after Jesus has said something or done something. But here, we have Jesus marveling at the centurion. And Jesus has only marveled one other time in Scripture, is that word attributed to Jesus. And that's when Jesus is marveling at the lack of faith of his hometown. And so he's marveled twice, once at a great lack of faith, and here he marvels at great faith. As he says, I tell you, not even in Israel have I found such faith. And the source of this faith is the word. The word is the source of the faith. The centurion denies his worthiness and puts all of the emphasis outside of himself on the word of Jesus, on his word. And Jesus recognizes this as true faith. And the centurion is blessed to have heard this report from Jesus himself.
We're studying the Daily New Testament reading with Pastor Matthew Rasmussen from Community Lutheran Church in South Burlington, Vermont. We're in Luke chapter 7 today, verses 1 through 17. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back from the break, we'll take a look at verses 11 and following. You're listening to His Time on Worldwide KFUO.
Lutheran Senior Services invites you to explore its Hidden Gems Resale Shop at 9051 Watson Road in Crestwood. Open Tuesday through Saturday from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m., Hidden Gems offers fantastic bargains on gently used home furnishings, jewelry, books, toys, clothes, and more. And best of all, each purchase through Hidden Gems goes to support older adults who have outlived their ability to support themselves. Lutheran Senior Services, trusted for a reason. LSSLiving.org.
On the next Law and Gospel, I, Tom Baker, will continue with a reading from the book of Revelation for the fourth Sunday of Easter. And it will be very clear to us that Jesus is God, because all the saints, innumerable as they are, continue to worship him.
Weekday mornings beginning at 9:30 on KFUO. KFUO, the messenger of good news. God said to the serpent, I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring. He shall bruise your head, and he shall bruise his heel. Worldwide, KFUO at KFUO.org.
You're You're listening to His Time. I'm Andy Bates. We're studying the daily New Testament reading in Luke chapter 7 today with Pastor Matthew Rasmussen from Community Lutheran Church in South Burlington, Vermont. About to pick up at verse 11, but Pastor, anything else about verses 1 through 10 in Luke 7 before we go on to the next section?
Sure, just a couple of quick summary statements. This is it's a fascinating passage, and there's obviously some irony here that Jewish leaders are sent by a Roman centurion, a Gentile, to Jesus, a Jewish teacher. And there's even greater irony in that Jesus perceives in this Gentile centurion a faith greater than that of anyone in Israel. And in fact, we know the centurion's servant is healed, and we can conclude that through faith, salvation comes to the centurion and his household. And we see here a theme kind of opening up in Luke. We see with this pericope the foreshadowing of the church's mission to Gentiles, that faith in Jesus, rather than an affiliation with ethnic Israel, is the key to receiving salvation. And that is certainly played out, shown here in verses 1 through 10 of chapter 7.
All right, let's take a look at verses 11 through 17. Soon afterward, he went to a town called Nain, and his disciples and a great crowd went with him. As he drew near to the gate of the town, behold, a man who had died was being carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow, and a considerable crowd from the town was with her. When the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her and said to her, "Do not weep." Then he came up and touched the bier, and the bearers stood still. And he said, "Young man, I say to you, arise." And the dead man sat up and began to speak, and Jesus gave him to his mother. Fear seized them all, and they glorified God, saying, "A great prophet has arisen among us, and God has visited his people." And this report about him spread through the whole of Judea and all the surrounding country. So, soon afterward, he went to a town called Nain. Hey, everybody, let's go over to Nain.
Right. So they travel about 20 miles distance to a town called Nain. And after the healing of the centurion's servant, Jesus' popularity is continuing to grow. This is early in his ministry, and he's followed by a great crowd. And as they enter Nain, the great crowd following Jesus encounters a great crowd of a funeral procession, and they all kind of come together. And that's the scene that is set for us as we enter these verses.
So they come into Nain. As he drew near to the gate of the town, behold, a man who had died was being carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow, and a considerable crowd from the town was with her. So we have a funeral procession here.
Right. We have a funeral procession and an untimely death, as it's certainly no mother would want to be present or want to have to endure the burial of one of their children, much less an only son. And even so, this mother is also a widow. So we have a great crowd gathered, as great crowds are typically gathered, especially at untimely funerals. And there's great grief here. And that is what we have here. A very, very unfortunate situation, not the way things are quote unquote supposed to play out in life, where we have a mother burying her son and a widow at that.
So we have the funeral procession, and when verse 13, and when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her and said to her, "Do not weep." He saw the situation.
So the Lord and his disciples and the great crowd following, they come together, and he sees this situation, and he has compassion on her. And this word compassion, this is a coming from the Greek, this is a visceral word. It's, you know, his it's gut-wrenching. I'm trying to think of how we express this in English. You know, our you know, our guts wrench. We are poured out. We truly feel the pain. And maybe to help give an idea, Luke uses this word in a couple other upcoming instances in his gospel. The Good Samaritan, for example, will show this kind of compassion as he encounters the one beaten and left for dead. And as will also the father of the prodigal son, this kind of compassion as he sees his son returning in the distance. So you kind of, this is a very, very emotional, it's a packed word. So the Lord really, really felt for this woman and the situation that she was in, and he immediately begins to bring her comfort. What may seem to begin in an odd way, as it's certainly appropriate for her to be weeping in this situation, but the first words of our Lord to her are, "Do not weep." Words I wouldn't necessarily recommend giving to those who find themselves in this situation today. But this is, you know, this is our Lord speaking, and our Lord has more in plan here, which we are about to say. But he begins his entrance into the scene directly with her with the words, "Do not weep."
Then he came up and touched the bier, and the bearer stood still, and he said, "Young man, I say to you, arise." And the dead man sat up and began to speak, and Jesus gave him to his mother.
Right. We have in the previous passage with the centurion servant, the centurion did not want Jesus to enter his house because he did not want Jesus to become unclean or defiled by entering the house of a Gentile. And here we see that this is of no concern to Jesus at all, for it would certainly make one unclean in Jewish law to touch the bier, which is the contraption used to carry the corpse, the dead body upon in the funeral procession. And so Jesus has no fear whatsoever of becoming unclean. And as we see, he actually makes clean whatever he touches. And we see in this the extreme example that he is able to reverse death, to overcome death, and bring life through the touch and his word, "Young man, I say to you, arise." So here again we have a demonstration of the power of the word of our Lord and the authority that comes with that power. And this, of course, also is nothing new, but demonstrates who this word made flesh is, who has been from the beginning. When the Lord, when God said in creation, "Let there be light," there was light. The word speaks, and what it commands comes to be. So that very same word is here in the flesh speaking. And when this word says, "Young man, I say to you, arise," response is immediately evoked. Death is overcome, and the young man sits up and begins to speak. And now we have greater understanding now of why Jesus was able to say to the grieving widow, "Do not weep." For what has now been brought about, reunion, rejoicing, amazement.
And fear seized them all, they glorified God, saying, "A great prophet has risen among us, and God has visited his people." This report about him spread through the whole of Judea and all the surrounding country.
Right, so it's hard for us to kind of put ourselves in this situation, but if we were part of a funeral procession, especially if you knew the deceased, and then they sat up in front of you in your very presence, fear, I'm certain, would be the first emotion to wave over us. And the other interesting thing is it sees them all. So we have the two crowds that have come together, all of this great cloud of witnesses, and all are seized with this fear. And then immediately the response after the fear is they glorify God. A great prophet has arisen among us. So they're beginning to see who Jesus is. And Jesus certainly is demonstrating the power that is in the Word here, most certainly. And also to compare the two pericopes that we're studying today, the centurion's servant, to go back, a differentiation we have here in this healing, no mention is made of anyone's faith. So this shows that Jesus' healings they were not dependent on the faith of the person being healed, but they're dependent upon his own power and might. By the word of Christ alone are the sick healed and the dead raised. So lest we, the centurion, a great guy, a God-fearing man, and one of faith, as Jesus himself says, but lest we think too much of the centurion himself, our Lord has us recognize the true source of faith, and that is the Word of God, which Jesus himself bears as the Son of God. So we have this crowd, and they recognize him, they glorify God, and they say a great prophet has arisen. But do they honestly see or recognize what's the road that Jesus has in front of him and who Jesus truly is at this point? And it's likely not. This is kind of the first wave response to Jesus' ministry. So they obviously are affirming that there is a great teacher, miracle worker, prophet in their presence. But they are not yet recognizing, I'm sure, that they have another only begotten son, as Jesus just raised an only begotten son, the only son of this widow, that the only begotten son of God is in their midst, and this only begotten son must taste death on behalf of us all for our salvation. And that understanding is yet to come.
Looking over the text as a whole, Pastor, anything else you'd like for us to learn today?
Only that, I guess I see as a theme here, perhaps, one of worthiness. And in our society, we, you know, worthiness is a big thing. And we feel that our worthiness comes from what we are able to produce out of ourselves, that we are the source. And I think from both of our texts here today, from both of our pericopes within our text today, we see that our true worthiness is given us. It comes through hearing, and through hearing we are given faith, and that faith gives us the true power to act as the centurion acted. That faith actually raises us and gives us life, as we see with the young man. And truly, our Lord touches each one of us. He has come to us personally. He has touched us in our baptism by the power of His Word. We are risen up. We are joined to His death and resurrection, and we are empowered, continually empowered by His Word and the reception of His body and blood to go and do, to show our love to our neighbors and so that others may recognize the faith that is within us by our fruits, just as the Jews, the elders of the Jews, recognized that of the centurion by his love and his work for them. So I could certainly go on in this passage. This truly is a rich word and a fun one to talk about, and a blessing to have the opportunity to comment on it today with you.
We've been studying the daily New Testament reading with Pastor Matthew Rasmussen from Community Lutheran Church in South Burlington, Vermont. Pastor Rasmussen, thanks for being our guest pastor, helping us study in Luke chapter 7 today.
My pleasure. God's blessings to you, Andy, and to all those out there listening today.
Thank you. God bless you and all the saints at Community Lutheran Church in South Burlington, Vermont. Coming up in just a little bit, more His time, including sacred music to sanctify your morning. You're listening to Worldwide KFUO.